Okay, here it is. Here it is. If you see any kind of deep truth without being born again, you will be led astray with the flesh mind. If you see deep truth in whatever way, you'll be led to Jesus, the spirit mind. If you're born again and you see deep truth, it points you to Jesus. If you see some deep truth or you hear without being born again, it points you to yourself. They're diametrically opposed. So there's a lot of people out there, the Gnostics, the Gematria, and all these people who can see code in this simulation. But the ones who are not saved, they end up worshiping themselves. They think man is the end all of all things, mankind. But if you see the code, or you see some kind of common denominators, or you see patterns, or you see deep truth, or you can, there's a lot of lost people that study the Bible and they know where verses are. But if you ever notice the unsaved, anytime you talk to an unsaved that knows the Bible, they always take the verses out of context. They don't put them in context. That's how you catch them. If they speak not according to this word, there's no light in them. And so if they can't rightly divide the word of truth, you catch them. And you give them a verse. You give them a context to try to put them back on the right way of thinking. And it makes them mad. Like eternal security. If somebody reads verses, but you show them the whole picture, they stay in a works-based mindset if they're lost. The only people who walk by faith are the born again. Now think about what I'm telling you. If you're born again, faith alone, think about all the people that you know who are not saved, who are in this works-based system. They think you got to be good enough. The Bible says there's none good, no, not one. The Bible says we're in the sanctification process. The Bible says the flesh is nothing but sin. Apostle Paul said, "In my flesh dwelleth no good thing. Who can rescue me from this body of sin?" And he says, Jesus alone, faith alone in Jesus alone. Now, once you get saved, God will push you towards being a better steward while you're down here. But the common denominator is the flesh mind versus the spirit mind. The flesh creature, even if they can see code or they can see numbers or patterns or shapes or symbols or whatever, they're going to be moving towards worshiping themselves. And I listened to somebody today and they said it very clearly, and I've said it before too, that God made man in his image, and the unsaved, they don't like that. They want to make God in their image. God made man in his image, but they don't like that. They want to make God in their image. Or they want to create a creation in their image, which they don't even know what they're doing. They don't know how to create a universe, or they don't know how to do it. Just, it's the vanity and the pride of man. But they think they can. Everything that man makes is dead. Every machine, electric bike, electric car, moped, motorcycle, those are dead things. If man farms, he plants a seed, right? But the life was in the seed. I mean, it was already, the seed is within the seed. It was already, from the get-go, had life. Man is trying to create synthetic life, trying to make AI become self-aware and all that. Man can't create life. mankind can only create death. Now, once he's born again and regenerated, he has life. He can speak life from the word of truth, the word of life, Jesus. But he can't give that person a born-again experience. Only God. They can only get it from Jesus. If you think you can get somebody saved by your power, it's not going to happen. You can win souls by just speaking the gospel, speaking the truth, but you can't win a soul. Only God can. But you can win souls through his power, through his word. Speak it. You're just an ambassador. You're just speaking the truth. And so the truth that's coming through you from God, through you, can save somebody. But you're not doing it. It's the Holy Spirit convicting them of sin. And so Jesus came to convict the world of sin, judgment, and righteousness, judgment, sin. Sin, righteousness, and judgment. And so they have to see their sin. They have to see their sin. They have to see the righteousness of Christ. And they have to see the judgment of God. And all those things they don't want to look at. They don't want to look at the righteousness of Jesus. They don't believe in the judgment, the great white throne judgment. And they don't want to believe they're sinners. If you talk to somebody who doesn't admit they're a sinner, how can they see Jesus as righteous? And if you talk to somebody that doesn't admit Jesus as righteous, how can they believe in the judgment? You see, it's all connected. Sin, righteousness, and judgment. I just made some tea, some hot tea. It's called what's it called? Chamomile, Chamomile, chamomile tea. And I put some honey in it, and I put some cinnamon in it. It's supposed to make you sleep better. It's supposed to help you with some antioxidants or stuff like that. I'm finding out that black tea gets your blood flowing. I'm going to go buy some black tea. I did buy some green tea. I hadn't got a good result yet on that, but I haven't tried it long enough. And so, what is the deal? The deal is, you can talk to your blue in the face. You can hit them over the head with a 2x4. But if the Holy Spirit doesn't convict them of sin, righteousness, and judgment, their sin, the righteousness of Jesus, and the judgment of God, they won't be convicted, so they can't be saved. A convict goes to jail, right? Now, what if he's sitting in jail and he doesn't know that he's in jail? He doesn't know that the judge is going to judge him. He'd have to be retarded, you know? And so they're just, the devil's blinded them. There's only one explanation. They were spoiled as a child and their parents tried to cover them. And they didn't want to face their own sin. They didn't want to look at themselves. And they're just walking through life thinking they can do whatever. The authority in your life, whether it's a boss, any kind of authority in your life, is actually a blessing. It could be a landlord. It could be a leader. Any kind of authority in your life is a blessing. Because even if it's a bad authority, they're still limited by the laws and stuff. And so you could have to learn to work around it, you know. You have to improve yourself. Be on guard, be aware, you know. Now, if it's really bad, you get away from them. But if the authority breaks the the universal laws, just pray to God. Say, Lord, this authority figure in my life, they have really crossed the line. And I have to go to you because you're the highest authority. I'm not retaliating, so I'm going to let you retaliate and see what happens. God controls the king's hearts. God, the reason God puts authority in your life is for you. The authority figure is just a vessel to cut out things that you need to do. You have blind spots, whatever it is. If it's a job and you're being lazy or whatever you should be doing that you're not doing, you know. The word agape, the letter C in the Hebrew script goes back to a rich man chasing a poor man down to give him charity. And so let's say you go get a job from some rich man, right? A rich person. And so you get a job from a rich person, and they've got rich because they know how to manage their stuff, right? And so you go work for this rich person, and they're correcting you, and they actually want you to do good and make a profit and do good. But if you fight against them, why would you fight against them? They learned how to manage a business. You could learn from them and watch them and copy and repeat what they do, you know? Anyway, I got off topic. The gist of the matter is God made man in his image. Through Jesus, God made all things. Jesus is the typology, the archetype of all things, even the angels. And so that typology, we accept as believers that Jesus is the type to follow in sequence, in series, after, following after Jesus, following his footsteps, in his path. He made the path. He made the way. But the unsaved, they want to do their own path. But their own path is contrary to the universe. And God let, you know, I used to think, well, why would God let Cain do his own thing? Well, God let Cain do his own thing because Cain had to learn. Did he learn? Cain killed Abel. Do these people ever repent? Do these people ever learn? Do these people ever fear enough judgment or jail time or whatever, the judgment of God? Do they ever learn? I think the secret to tea is how long you let it seep in there. Let the tea bag sit in there. The value of the health benefit of it. I'm going to study it. I'm not saying that tea leaves are good or bad for you. I'm going to have to. But it looks like the black tea seems to be healthy. If you think about it, friends, if you have a bag of sugar around and somebody stabs you or shoots you and you put sugar on the wound, it helps to clog the blood, right? And so if you're just eating a lot of sugar and drinking a lot of sugar, it's clogging the blood flow. So if in an emergency, the military, whoever tells you to put sugar on a wound to stop the blood, to clog the blood, that ought to tell you that inside it's going to clog the blood. Sugar is bad. free speech is important, mainly to give out the gospel, but also to give out the news about health and what, you know, how they're trying to deceive people and trick people and all that. You need to be able to have free speech. If they take away the free speech, they took away everything. God wants you to speak the truth. In the real world, face to face, you have to do it nicely, because if you spoke the truth too much, somebody might just knock your teeth out, you know? So you have to be careful what you say in the real world. You have to say it with grace and some little bit of salt and a lot of grace. So here's the deal. No matter how many deep truths somebody can see, if they're not saved, they will look at themselves as, look at me. If they are saved, they're going to say, look at Jesus. Look to Jesus, the author and finisher. And so whoever you're talking to, if they're not saved, it's all about them. Or they worship some idol. If it's not about them, they worship some movie star, some football team, some basketball player, or some system, or some ism, or cult. But if it's somebody who's saved, they point to Jesus. What do they worship? What do they point to? Do they worship themselves? Do they worship their looks? Do they worship their money? Do they worship them what they do? Or do they worship God, made in His image, not the image of man? That's the gist of it.